Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. Appreciate the reflective tone of the music this morning and preparing our hearts for this series on prayer. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read those verses to you. I'm not going to really dive into these verses today. This series is going to go through the end of August. It's a short series. Don't mistake the shortness of this series to the importance of this series. But I want to give a foundation to this series and what God has laid on my heart for this series on prayer. So in Luke chapter 11, if you have your bulletins, grab those. If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you. We want to give it to you. Luke chapter 11, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Growing up, my prayer life consisted of repetitious prayers with really no understanding of the meaning of those. My family definitely prayed at every meal and typically at church services, but nothing truly personal about my prayer life really occurred until November 2nd, 2001, when I asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I asked him to come into my life and forgive me, to give me eternal life. And my prayer life changed. It got very personal. I learned a lot from men and women who prayed to God on a regular basis. I remember early on in my Christian walk being very afraid to pray personal prayers. Like, how do you really talk to God, the creator of the universe? I remember I would just let other people pray and I would just listen to them. Just being afraid to kind of talk to God in that personal way, it seemed weird to me. This series we are doing till the end of August is on prayer and the importance of prayer in any true follower of Jesus Christ. We're going to learn a lot by God's grace about prayer. At the end of book 2 in Psalms, Psalms is broken into 5 different books, but it starts out in book 2 in Psalm 42. It concludes in chapter 72, verse 20. It says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." I love the Psalms because not only are they poetry and songs, but they're absolutely prayers. And oftentimes these are prayers that you should even speak back to God. But we learn a lot about the definition of prayer through Psalms. David says it's a lifting up our soul to God. Psalm 25:1 says that. It's a pouring out your heart to God. Psalm 62:8 says this. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God." It's also a crying out to God. Psalm 86:3. At the beginning of Psalm 86, it literally says this is a prayer of David. He says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day." Oswald Chambers, one of my favorite authors, says this about prayer. "Prayer does not fit us for a greater work. Prayer is the greater work. E.M. Bounds says, no learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. Paul tells us in Colossians 4:2 to devote ourselves to prayer. We know that God's word is, this is God's word, and it is inspired. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray without ceasing. If you read your Bible, you will see that prayer is absolutely saturated throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. It is saturated in God's word and God's people. The Bible refers to prayer in 61 of the 66 books. 1 John, 2 John don't have references to prayer, but 3 John, the Gospel of John, absolutely do. We see prayer first mentioned in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. In the New Testament, the Greek word is actually a compound Greek word. It literally means toward or close to close, face to face, exchanging of words. For the next few weeks, we will look at an example of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. We see it in Luke chapter 11. We see it in Matthew chapter 6. And we see an example that Jesus gives to his disciples. No doubt, this question of teach us to pray bore out of Jesus' own prayer life as they watched him. We see examples after examples of Jesus praying. We read in John 17 the intimacy of Jesus' prayer to his Father and for his disciples and for us. As it starts out in verse 21. How is your prayer life? Is your prayer life a picture of dependency and awe of God? This series, as I said, bore out of a conviction that God has been doing in my life since January. As your pastor, it is very clear what my duty is. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, just so you're aware, to hold me accountable, it says, but we, meaning the disciples, the pastors, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what I'm supposed to do. John Owens, a great theologian, says, a minister may fill his pews, his communion rolls, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees, secret before God, that he is and no more. My desire as your pastor is to equip you for ministry. Without prayer, there is no power in your ministry. This series bore out in God convicting me that we need to be a church deep in prayer. In awe and dependency on God. How's your prayer life? D.L. Moody says every great work of God can be pointed back to someone on their knees in prayer. You want God to do a great work? It starts with you on your knees. We see that as an example in Jesus' life. In Matthew 14, it says he went up to the mountainside to pray. In Matthew 26, it says he went to the garden to pray always. In Mark 1, it says, in the very early morning, he went out to pray. He found a solitary place to pray. In Luke, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. In Luke 6, on one of these days, he went to the mountainside to pray. He spent a night praying. In Luke 18, it says, Jesus told his disciples of a parable to show them that they should always pray, so that they won't lose heart. As we walk through in the next several weeks this prayer in Luke chapter 11, I want us to start out with the question of, why should you even pray? Why pray? Simply put, I really have just three points I'm going to make, but even before that, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, did you know that it is a sin for you not to pray? Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. In a true follower of Christ's life, it should be saturated with prayer, awe and dependency on God. So the first thing I want to point out, and again, this is more of a topical message, building a foundation for the series we are going to be doing in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. So I'm going to have a lot of verses to really hammer at you. There are several verses within the whole Bible that reference prayer, but I want to just point out three things on why your dependency and why you should be in prayer. Here's the first thing. God desires for us to communicate with Him. Think about that for a second. The God of the universe desires for you to have a personal, remember the word prayer literally means face to face toward God communication, an interchange, an exchange. The God of the universe desires that you would talk to Him. He is a personal God. He cares for us. He wants to commune with you through prayer. Look at some of these verses. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, and again, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. An Old Testament verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands, as he spoke to Israel. Just as you would speak to any person that you care about, maybe a friend or family member, maybe your parents, anybody that you would call your friend, you talk to them. What kind of communication do we have if we don't talk to the ones we love? Well, I can tell you, not a very good one. Listen, why should you pray? Follower of Jesus Christ, why should you pray? Because God wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. Because He cares for you. If that doesn't cause us this morning to think about, oftentimes I do counseling with couples. And I think of even in my own relationship with my wife. Most of our arguments, most of all arguments stem from a lack of communication. It's no different than what God desires through you through prayer. Oftentimes, the very relationship you have with God is not where it should be because you don't spend time with Him in communicating to Him. God's desire is that you would absolutely have a personal, face-to-face conversation with Him. Listen, prayer is not just about asking God for your needs and your blessings, though you're welcome to do so. It is truly about communicating with the living God, Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins. He desires to speak with you. Without communications, relationships fall apart. So too will our relationship with God suffer if we do not pray. The second thing that I see here is just why should we pray? Because when we pray, we are giving thanks and praising Him. In Matthew chapter 15, we see Jesus after He had just fed 5,000, or He's in the process of feeding 5,000 people. Matthew records that He took 7 loaves of fish and giving thanks, He broke them and started to give them to His disciples. In John 6:23, again, we see that they came into their boats at Tiberias near a place where they ate bread, and Jesus gave thanks to the Lord. We should be hard-pressed to not think of anything we couldn't be grateful for. What prayer is and why we should be praying is it gives us an opportunity to say thank you to God. Thank you for what you have. Expressing a thankfulness to God will absolutely change your life. You look at Romans chapter 1, and the very reason people walked away from God is a lack of gratitude. Not thankful. Ungrateful. Prayer is an opportunity for God to cause you to have a grateful heart. What are you thankful for? Let me ask you, do you like spending time with people who aren't grateful? Who are constantly complaining about what they don't have? Yeah, they're really fun to be around, aren't they? When you pray prayers of thanksgiving, you express a heart of gratitude for everything that you have, primarily, follower of Jesus Christ, your salvation. The fact that He died for your sins and given you eternal life should cause us to be the most grateful people in this world. Does your prayers reflect an attitude of gratitude? Or is it just primarily what you don't have? Prayer is your opportunity to give thanks to God. Listen, look around. Go home, look around. You absolutely have something to thank God for. Why should you pray? Because you are still here. And you have an opportunity to glorify God. You are breathing. Why pray? Because God wants to talk to you. And because God wants to cause your heart to be grateful, thankful. And your opportunity to pray also not only helps you to give thanks, but it also a chance to praise Him. Now you might think, well listen, I mean, seriously, it's just praising Him? I mean, what's that going to do for me? Listen, giving thanks and giving praise are completely two different things. Giving thanks is thanking God for what He has done. Giving praise is thanking God for who He is. Look at Psalm 150 with me in this prayer. Praise the Lord, this prayer is. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him in His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourines and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud and clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The opportunity to pray is to thank God for who He is. We will read about that in the prayer that Jesus starts. Hallowed be His name. Holy is His name. Separated. Perfect. We thank Him for who He is. The fact that God would die on a cross, that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, would die for our sins so that we might have eternal life. That is worthy of praise. It is worthy of our prayers. And it will absolutely change your life. Prayer is communication with the Holy God. Prayer is an opportunity to give thanks and give praise to Him. And prayer is an opportunity to ask for help. Yes, yes, believe it or not, God wants you to ask for help. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. To ask for help lowers your pride. You have to admit you actually need help for you to ask for help. Now, this may come to a shock to you, but you're not meant to live alone. God, in His essence, in His eternal relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are created for a relationship. God gives you the opportunity to fellowship with Him and to ask Him for help. Because you are not alone. He wants to help you in salvation. I just met a guy this week who informed me that he just trusted Christ within the last few weeks. He prayed out during a communion service, asking God to forgive him of his sins, to come into his life. He asked for help. That is a prayer that God will answer. Romans 10:9-11 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Though we don't preach here that there's a pray the prayer or some sort of a rote prayer that you must pray to inherit salvation, listen, when you ask for help, when you ask Jesus to save you from your sins because you recognize that was that because of your sin you are separated from a holy God, that is a prayer of help and a prayer that God desires to answer. Is that a prayer of your heart this morning? Listen, as we walk through this prayer in Luke chapter 11, my hope is that the Holy Spirit works so mightily to encourage every single one of you to talk to God. He wants to talk to you. He desires for you to pour out gratitude and praise to Him. And He wants you to ask for help. Because He loves you. Because He died for you. Because He wants you to learn about joy apart from your circumstances. He wants you to find joy in Him. Isn't that great about relationships? That you can almost have nothing. And as long as you have somebody with you, it's okay. Listen, if you're here today, you would say, I don't have a spouse. I don't have anybody to talk to. I don't have any this. I don't have any that. Listen, if you have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the only relationship that's of most importance. And you talk to him. God desires for you to communicate with him. God desires for you to give him thanks and praise. God's desire is that you would ask for help. As we walk through this prayer in the next several weeks, my hope and prayer is that your relationship with God grows stronger, as it has mine in the last 6 months, because of this conviction that I haven't been communicating with my Holy Father. Let's pray. Listen, doesn't have a bigger meaning now? Listen, it's not just rote that we say, let's pray. We're communicating with the Holy God. When we say, let's pray, it's not the conclusion. It's the beginning of communicating with a holy God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We are not God. You are holy and you are perfect and you are righteous. We are grateful, Lord, for your plan of redemption. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, giving us hope apart from our circumstances. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us to pray, for guiding us to what Jesus said and did, and for illuminating the very words of the Scriptures as we listen to you. Oh God, you are worthy of praise. Help us. Lord, no doubt help some in this place that have never put their trust in you. They are still relying on their good works, or whatever they're relying on, Lord, cause them to see their need. Only you can do that. Only you can light that fire. May your gospel change their lives. And then, Lord, we, as followers of Jesus Christ, people who have placed their trust in you, we are asking for your help, Lord. That we would be more in awe of you. That we would be more dependent on you. That you would grow our prayer life so that we might be joy-filled followers of you. God, do that work. May this church, your church, be a church of prayer. For it's in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing.